I've got something different tonight. I usually preach message from the Bible, about religion and all that sort of thing, don't I?
Yes.
Well, for the first time in my life, and we've got somebody here that'll probably be very interested in this, he likes stuff from the Bible too. But tonight I'm going to talk about something political. Politics. Now, we don't get all mixed up in politics, but I tell you what, you need to know what's going on. All right? So tonight, I want to bring a message, a short message about how the left is bringing in a one world government. How the left, you know, the left wing and right wing politics, right? How the left is bringing in a one world government. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 13, please. And we'll get started. How the left is bringing in a one world government. Do you think they are? Do you think they're trying to? I hope you all realise they are. Anyhow, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, we're going to read. Verse 16, and now let me tell you who he is. He's the second beast from verse 11, with horns like a lamb, but who speaks like a dragon. That he is the false prophet, alright? And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, most people think the Antichrist does that. No. The false prophet does that. He causes them all to do that. And verse 17, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast. Now, who's this beast? Let me tell you who that beast is. He's the first beast from verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13. That is the Antichrist, right? The beast, the first one who is the Antichrist, he comes up out of the sea. The sea in prophecy always represents the masses of humanity, alright? This other beast that came up with having two horns like a lamb that speaks like a dragon, he looks like a church bloke, you see? He's got horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. That's the false prophet. He comes up out of the earth. He actually comes up out of Europe, all right? Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, just a little bit of information about the Antichrist before we go on. He is depicted as rising out of the revived Roman Empire in Daniel 7, 19 and 20. Daniel 7, verses 19 and 20 shows you that the Antichrist rises out of a revived Roman Empire in Europe, alright? He will rise after the 10 kings of the end time Roman Empire. He comes after them, alright? The 10 horns mentioned in Daniel 7 correspond to the 10 toes mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, signifying those 10 kings or rulers in the end time. Alright, let's pray and ask God to give us help to see what these people are up to today, alright, that we need to be aware of. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, Lord, to look into your word, and Lord, to get up and rub our eyes from our beds and have a look around, Lord, and see what is happening in the world around us, Lord. Things that you tell us to look out for and beware of, because they're signs, Lord, of your close return. Help us, Lord, to be watching and waiting and not to be asleep in our beds when you arrive, Lord. And as we talk about these things tonight, Lord, we will have information that will cause us, Lord, to be able to stand strong and be ready for you when you arrive, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The century-long attempt to kill capitalism in America gained dramatic speed in the 1960s, and I've been long enough to know all this stuff. I've watched it happening, even though I wasn't a Christian at the time. I've been very interested in what's going on. With the rapid ascendancy of progressivism. What is progressive? Progressivism is a socialist Marxist movement that has quietly seized control of the Democratic Party in America. The Democratic Party. It sounds like it's a good party. It's got democracy. It used to be a good party. It used to be, all right? Anyhow, a socialist Marxist movement, communist movement, has quietly seized control of the Democratic Party in America over the last half century. I've been nearly a Christian nearly half a century, so I've been looking at this in religious terms too, you see. I've been 40 years a Christian. You've been longer, I know. But 40 years. So we've got a little bit of back sight, you see, what's been going on and equating it with Christianity. So for most of America's 244-year history, the dominant political parties that have evolved or that evolved had a common goal of constantly working to improve the country they both loved. Both parties loved that country. Okay? Democrats and Republicans alike saw their country as a force for good, both at home and abroad. Beginning in the 1960s, however, that widely shared view began to show cracks as the progressive movement began tightening its grip on the modern Democratic Party. Democratic icons of the 1960s, like John F. Kennedy, for instance, great man. He was a Catholic, but he was a politician. He wasn't our pastor, all right? And like Trump today, Trump's not our pastor. Who cares that he swears? He's a political man, and he needs to swear at them people every now and again. Amen? If you put some namby-pamby in there, they'd walk over the top of him. Trump's not being walked over the top of. Anyhow, John F. Kennedy was a genuine patriot who loved their country, that mob loved their country. Had a view and an attitude that was shared by a large majority of the rank and file who supported the Democratic Party in those days. However, such is no longer the case. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about three issues in politics that will soon have a profound effect upon how we will have the freedom to worship God publicly, and also how these issues are setting up the foundation for the Antichrist one world government. Although I'm talking about American politics, nevertheless, these things are also being promoted in the thinking of left-wing political parties here in Australia. Firstly, the left wing is working towards a one world government by eroding patriotism. Patriotism. When I was a young bloke, I was a patriot. The Vietnam War's done. Let's go and get them. Hey, the Bay of Pigs, John F. Kennedy stood up against the Russians. I was ready to go to war. I was ready. I was only about 16. Give us a gun, I'll go and help them. We were patriots. Now today, they'd stand on the Esplanade and wave them ashore. You see? Come here. We welcome you. Not in those days. Patriotism. The left wing is working towards a one world government by eroding patriotism. In October 2018, the New York Times reported that 69% of progressive Democrats are ashamed of being American. Increasingly influenced by the progressive wing of their party, Democrats as a whole have moved sharply away from love of country and sharply towards socialism and communism. In February 2019, a group called Public Opinion Strategies found that 77% of Democrats who plan to vote in 2020 this year self-identify as socialists. Now, I got an email this afternoon from my mate in America, in Florida. This is an article just from yesterday. Gallup did a poll, and they found that 76% of Democrats would vote for socialist presidential candidate. They'd vote for a communist. They're all young people, you see. There's something's been happening. They've been brainwashed by the education departments for a start. They've been infiltrated by communists, socialists. Aided and abetted by the complicit left-wing media, the modern Democratic Party has been remarkably successful at driving down patriotism. A Gallup poll found that less than a third of Democrats are proud of their country, and that is tending sharply downwards. Why has the modern Democratic Party worked so diligently to erode patriotism? Because love of country is a major obstruction in convincing voters to yield this nation's sovereignty to an international governing body run by the United Nations. If you're a patriot, you don't want to hand over the running of your country to the United Nations. That's why Boris Johnson was so unpopular in the UK. Well, it took 3 years after the people voted to get out of the EU. It took them 3 years to bring it to pass. And they had a majority vote to get out of it. And they had to fight for 3 years to get it. All right? So, that's what's happening, you see. All of the younger generation, the postmodernist people that can't think, they're postmodernist thinkers, they're postmodernist non-thinkers, are being duped into accepting socialism. Why has the modern Democratic Party worked so diligently to erode patriotism? Because love of country, listen, is a major obstruction in convincing voters to yield their nation's sovereignty to an international governing body run by the United Nations. With the people's patriotic passion degraded, a society can more easily be led to no longer see themselves as citizens of their country, but as citizens of the world. All right? In his July 2008 speech in Berlin, the left-wing progressive presidential candidate Barack Hussein Obama, nice Muslim name, told an adoring crowd of 200,000 cheering European Marxists, left-wingers, "I come to you as a citizen of the world." He had an agenda. He's a socialist. Amen. Secondly, the left-wing is working towards a one-world government through open borders and mass migration. The long-standing national identity of every progressive-run nation in Europe is being intentionally erased through government-encouraged mass migration. And the same thing is being attempted in America by the modern Democratic Party, and it's attempting it here as well. All right? Encouraging open borders as the primary means of destroying patriotism in Western nations is the foremost goal of billionaire globalist George Soros. I hope you all know who George Soros is. If you don't, you need to go and do a Google search. He's got billions and billions of dollars that he's spending on bringing in socialism around the world, all right? He's behind the left wing. Hey, he's the major financiers of the Clintons. The Hungarian-born communist is the most prolific financier of the progressive push for a world without borders. In his anti-capitalist bestseller, The Crisis of Global Capitalism, Soros sets out the progressive strategy to quietly bring about a world under communism. Complaining bitterly about the sway or the influence of sovereign nations, Soros spends immense sums of money each year fostering open society alliances among sovereign nations. He wants them to break down their borders and join together like the UN, you see. The goal of these alliances is to indoctrinate citizens of Western nations to accept the high-mindedness of doing away with national identities in favour of a collectivist, we are the world identity. Hey, you see that song they all sing? We are the world, we are one, blah, blah, blah. That song's about that. We all belong together. We all love each other, all right? With national identities erased, people no longer see themselves as patriotic citizens of their country, but as united citizens of an enlightened global society. People who oppose the unfettered influx of immigrants or migrants and refugees are shouted down as racists and xenophobes. Once open border alliances have been solidified, the last obstacle would thus be cleared for a borderless world governed by the United Nations. One world government, all right? For global governance to become a reality, the sovereignty of every Western nation must be eliminated, including Australia. Over the last decade, socialists have dramatically ramped up their efforts to bring to fruition the century-long progressive dream of a new world order, freed from the oppressive yoke of capitalism. They don't like capitalism. They hate it. Their accelerated plan is being carried out in large part through government-encouraged mass migration of impoverished people. Impoverished people is what they're trying to invite into your country from non-Western cultures. By extending the welcome mat to virtually endless numbers of non-white, non-assimilating migrants and refugees, progressive leaders in the free Western nations have moved a giant step closer towards blurring national identities, erasing national borders and dissolving national sovereignties. With the sovereignty of individual nations removed, the progressive goal of a world under socialism or communism would become a reality. When the election of Donald Trump dealt a catastrophic setback to the Obama ministry's looming realisation of fundamentally transforming America, Soros wrote an angry public rant comparing Trump to Hitler and called him a racist and a xenophobe. Known as the puppet master because of the huge influence he has over Democratic Party leaders, Soros' main target in taking down sovereign Western democracies is the crown jewel of them all, the United States of America. That's what he's after. If they can get the United States of America to fall, Australia's gone and so is the United Kingdom. In working towards the fulfillment of that takedown, the billionaire globalist mastermind has powerful allies in the highest levels of the modern Democratic party. And this is the problem, this is the people who are causing all the problems for Donald Trump. They didn't know what they'd struck when Trump got elected. They thought he'd just wither away like all the rest of them and go away. No, he didn't. He stood up to them. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't even get paid by the government for his salary. He gives it away. Thirdly, the left is working towards a one-world government through identity politics. To overthrow a capitalist society, the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx, he wrote the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx from Russia, calls for provoking a gigantic struggle between an alleged victim class and an alleged oppressor class. An alleged victim class and an alleged oppressor class. This was Karl Marx's aim, right? This is how he was going to... He started the Russian Revolution of 1917. The Russian Bolsheviks rose to power by pitting the poor lower class of their society against the more prosperous middle and upper class. He pitted the poor against the... not the rich, the middle class. The lower class against the middle class. Over the last half century, the Democratic Party has taken the concept of a Marxist-Leninist class struggle to new heights through its use of identity politics. The term refers to politically subdividing the electorate into multiple factions of voting blocs, whose members are told that they are being singled out for persecution by a bigoted and unjust society. For example, coloured people are being convinced that they are being persecuted by racists and white supremacists. Women are supposedly being persecuted by sexists and misogynists. Refugees and illegal immigrants are convinced that they are being persecuted by xenophobes, Muslims by Islamophobes, gays and lesbians by homophobes and religious bigots, the 99% of commoners by the 1% of the super rich, and so on and so on and so on. The goal of identity politics is to turn a major of the majority of the voting public against their country. And it's happening before our very eyes. This self-serving narrative of identity politics is that caring, inclusive and tolerant Democrats will righteously defend the members of each identity group from the constant onslaught of outrages inflicted on them by an oppressive society. The aim is to get these supposedly oppressed different classes of people to be dissatisfied with their lives and cause them to vote for the more progressive and tolerant and supportive political parties during an election, which is what's happening in America now. Identity politics is used as a political bludgeon to deceive people into believing that their country is an incurably unjust place where things can be set straight only by killing off its existing economic and governing systems. The 2020 elections in the US will determine whether their free market republic survives or falls from within to a single-party socialist rule. If the left of the world succeed, I'm closing, if the left of the world succeed in overthrowing the right-wing governments of the nations like the USA, UK and Australia, the one-world government, or the Antichrist-revived Roman Empire, will be a step closer to becoming a reality. It's all happening, my friends. It's all happening. And as I said on Sunday, about the rapture and the influence of the Christians through the Holy Spirit being removed from the earth. The Holy Spirit will still be here, but the Holy Spirit's presence in the Christian is going to be removed from off the earth. Right? 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, wouldn't have been a problem. Would not have been a problem. But today, if the rapture were to happen tomorrow or tonight, we've got a different circumstance. Because that means all the Christians will be removed from off the world, and we've got all this left-wing Marxist thinkers that are still going to be here to run the show. They've brought in rules on homosexuality. We're still protected. But I tell you what, if the Christian influence doesn't continue to be here to stand against the freedom that homosexuals want, they'll just go bonkers. They'll go bonkers. Right? And all the other things that our influence here, you think, oh, but you know, there's always been left-wing governments. There's never been left-wing governments with the laws that are in the making or in the background, like in America, they've got, haven't got through the Congress, hey? They've gone through the lower house, but they haven't been passed through the Congress because there's an opposition there of the people that have the Holy Spirit within them still. Their influence, right? Their influence is stopping things like this thing that they want like they had in America, the law about persecuting the black people, right? They want that same law to apply to homosexuals, you see. You've got to employ them in your business and all this sort of stuff, you see, and you can't speak against them and blah, 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 blah. They're already in there, ready for a left-wing government to come in and enact. So these countries have all got these laws that they haven't been able to pass because Christian believers, whether they're full-on Christians or just Bible believers and think we should have like Boris Johnson and Trump and ScoMo here, they're not real Christians. They're not real Christians. But they believe in Christian principles, you see. Once they're moved out, it's going to be all over. This world will descend into chaos without the presence of the Christian influence, the biblical influence, the Judeo-Christian principles that we stand on. If they're removed off the world today, it would be absolute. You wouldn't want to be here. We won't be. We'll be gone.